Joining us live over the phone this morning is Scott Gerard. Scott is the play-by-play voice of the Utah State Aggies. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing great, Scott. We appreciate you so much for hanging with us and going to talk a little Aggie sports with us. And I guess, first off, we better start with the idea or the fact that, man, the Aggies were on a tear winning the Mountain West Conference tournament in basketball. And then, like so many other teams that were that had some momentum, obviously some heartbreak, they didn't get to play in March Madness.
Yeah, that was, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at it. There was a lot of angst, a lot of those players were upset, the coaches were upset, and rightfully so. They were playing their best basketball. But then I think now the time has settled in and realizing how everything kind of played out with the virus, realizing how lucky they were that for one weird year, we had the Mountain West Conference a year earlier than usual, or a week earlier than usual. So had it been a normal year, they would have never have had that opportunity to beat San Diego State and win the Mountain West Conference championship. So to end the season the way they did with Sam Merrill hitting that big shot against the Aztecs and only giving them their second loss of the season, it's not a bad way to finish a year. Obviously, they were playing some good basketball and they felt confident going into the NCAA tournament, and you never know what could have happened had they been able to win a game or two. But overall, it's not a bad, you know, winning your last game of the season, not a lot of teams get to do that, and win a championship on that last game is a pretty good feeling. So they're, I think as time has gone on, they're a little bit more at peace on how the year ended.
Scott, of course, it's all speculation, and you mentioned the way you view it changes a little over time. But heading into what was supposed to be March Madness, where did you see the Aggies stacking up after winning the conference tournament and playing at such a high level and their best basketball of the season? What were you kind of expecting to see them do in March had it happened?
Well, ultimately, it was going to come down to matchups because Utah State was not without some flaws to their basketball season. Obviously, they had one of the best players in the Mountain West Conference in Sam Merrill, but they really struggled shooting the ball last year, especially from three. One of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country. Outside of Sam Merrill, nobody was over 33% from the three-point shooting range. So it was a team that had some struggles. So had they been up against a team with a really strong athletic backcourt that could have given some fits, had they played a little bit more of a Big Ten style team that was a little bit more methodical, they would have had a better shot. But you can't doubt that they were playing really good basketball going into that, going into the NCAA tournament. So a lot of it would have depended on the matchup. I know a lot of the mock NCAA, bracketologists had them up against West Virginia. That would have been a nice matchup. I think they would have fared fairly well in that matchup. But again, we'll never know, unfortunately.
You know, Scott, I'm looking at what's been going on over the last couple of months, and then I think football is on the mind of a lot of people right now. So if you don't mind, we'll switch over to football. But as I look at the Aggies' first half of their schedule for this upcoming fall, holy cow, that has got to be a little concerning for Coach Anderson based on the fact that, you know, he hasn't even seen his guys for who knows how long now. And five of those first six games are against bowl teams.
Yes, and two of them from the Pac-12. Yeah, it's a bit disconcerting, there's no doubt. And a team that just lost Jordan Love, and everybody in Wyoming knows how difficult it is to recover from losing a first-round NFL quarterback. So it's not going to be an easy road to hoe, there's no doubt about it. They love their backup quarterback, the backup quarterback they had that will be the starting quarterback in Henry Columbia. They feel like they've gotten better in recruiting, that they've added some pieces to the puzzle. Defensively, they were really, really bad last year near the end of the season. And they've made some changes on the defensive coaching staff and adjusted some roles, brought in some more talent. They just added a grad transfer from USC just earlier in the week. At the safety position, which they desperately needed some help there. So overall, they're going to be a better team than they were, especially near the end of last year, I think, from top to bottom. The problem is that schedule, you may not see the results of that talent increase just based on who they're playing and where they're playing. And the fact that they haven't had that offseason, and that's going to affect a lot of teams, especially young teams like Utah State that are trying to grow and develop. They haven't had a lot of time to be in the weight room. They haven't had a lot of time to be on campus. Guys are coming back around June 15th, so they try to start welcoming some guys back, but they're up against it. They only had two spring practices before everything got shut down, and they desperately needed those.
Scott Girard joining us this morning, play-by-play voice of the Utah State Aggies. Scott, Utah State had so much, the expectations were so high heading into the fall last season and the football year, and with Jordan Love and the team that they had, and it kind of built up from the previous year. And then you finish 7-6 and getting a shootout bowl game that you lose against Kent State to finish the season. What was it last year for the Aggies that just made it not click in the way that they were hoping that it would? And do you think that the changes that you just described that Coach Anderson has made, do you think that's going to solve some of those issues, whatever the issue may have been?
Yeah, I think it'll help. But you bring up, I've made this comparison all the time, and I hope people in Wyoming don't get upset with me, but I think the comparisons between Josh Allen and his last year at Wyoming and Jordan Love and his last year at Utah State are very similar. Josh Allen was, you know, had a tremendous year, and then lost all of his weapons. And last year, Jordan Love returned, but he lost four out of his five starting offensive linemen. He lost his three top receivers. He lost his running back who got drafted in the NFL. He lost his best tight end who's still in the NFL. I mean, that was a complete revamp on offense outside of Jordan Love. And Jordan pressed a little bit. That's why the interceptions were higher last year. They'll be better for that experience now, because now they've got guys in the mix that have a little bit of experience under their belt. But last year, it was an entirely new offense. Oh, and I might add a brand new coaching staff too. So that was an adjustment, and it took a while to get going, and it never really felt like, there were some moments where it felt like it started to click, but there was never really that good momentum that they had the previous year. And I think a lot of it had to do with inexperience, and hopefully that experience starts to kick in a little bit this year, even with the brand new quarterback.
Scott, do you feel like as fans, maybe it's too easy for us to gloss over the fact that Coach Anderson, I guess people just kind of assumed that it was going to be an easy transition back, where he'd had so much success and was coming back to Logan. Do you feel like maybe people maybe overlooked that transition?
I think that's a fair point. I think that's a very fair, accurate description, because he had to rebuild this team a little bit. Matt Wells it lined up very nicely for Matt Wells. A very senior-laden team, a schedule that really worked into his favor, and they were able to win 11 games and be nationally ranked, and he was able to parlay that into a nice job at Texas Tech. And Matt's a good friend of mine, and he's a great coach and deserves all the things that are coming his way, but the stars really lined up for him to have a great year. Next year, knowing that they would lose a lot offensively, knowing that the schedule would get much, much harder, and it was a difficult task for Gary Anderson. And Gary's a great coach. Gary adapts. Gary's smart. And I think that they'll be a team that will have to fight through probably some adversity this year based on the schedule. And then I think over the next couple of years, I think you'll start to see this team get back into that double-digit win total. But it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some work.
Scott, you made the comparison between Utah State and Wyoming a couple times, so I want to focus on the Bridger battle here this morning. That's been such a fun rivalry over the last few years, especially, and at Utah State in Wyoming at Laramie later on in November, I believe, on the schedule. So Wyoming, kind of it's almost a tale of two different seasons, with Utah State trying to rebuild with a younger team. On the flip side, this year, Wyoming's feeling quite optimistic with Wyoming fans and some experience coming back and hoping that this could be a good year for the Cowboys. So, of course, there's a lot of games to be played between now and November, but how would you compare the two teams right now for that meeting in November in Laramie?
I'm a huge fan of that coaching staff in Wyoming. I'm a huge fan of what they're building. And it's going to be, and I don't, look, I look at the schedule, and I'm sure you guys do too. I look at that schedule, and look, I love Wyoming. I love the campus. It's beautiful. I love everything about that city. I just don't love going there in late November. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not a huge fan of going there in late November. And so that's never an easy thing to do. And so I think that this team is very keenly aware of the difficulties playing there, and it's a good team. You guys have a really good team coming back, a great coaching staff, And I think right now, if you were to ask somebody in Vegas, they would probably have Wyoming as a pretty decent favorite going into that game. But it's been a fun battle. Utah State, when they transitioned into the Mountain West, they were looking for key rivalries. It's always been either BYU or Utah here in the state of Utah. But to extend out to other teams in the Mountain West Conference and have some strong rivalries, I know they've enjoyed that rivalry a great deal. And hopefully they're able to hold on to that rifle for another year.
So, Scott, just one last question here. Looking at that schedule, again, we've alluded to it. Maybe I'll just throw this out there to our listeners. You don't have it right in front of them. The first 6 weeks, the Aggies host Washington State, Southern Utah. Then they're on the road at Washington, at BYU. And then they host San Diego State. And then they're at Boise State. I mean, that's a pretty darn tough six-week stretch. But I guess it's also an opportunity. You as maybe better as better than anybody else. What's your prediction for next year? Looking at that schedule, looking at what's coming back, looking at what's been going on in the offseason, what's your prediction?
Well, I'd say if they find a way to go 500 for those first six games, now the coaching staff, if they heard me say this, would find me and strangle me because they don't want to talk like that. But I think from a realistic standpoint, if you're at 500, if you're 3-3 those first six games, you need to be thanking the big man upstairs for a lot of good fortune because it's a very difficult stretch. Obviously, it's going to be tough to get to 500 considering what they have coming back and the travels that they've got to make. But with that said, Gary Anderson's one heck of a coach, and I never bet against him. And so I'd say that's your best case scenario. That's your hopeful scenario. If you can go 2-4 during that stretch, there's some games you can pick up to try to get bowl eligible near the end of the year. But you're right. It's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a fun one to watch. I wouldn't bet against this team. That's for sure, though. They're some tough sons of guns, and it should be a fun stretch.
Scott Girard, play-by-play voice of the Utah State Aggies this morning on First Bank Sports Friday. Scott, appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
It's all part of the SVI Radio Network and the Weekday Wake Up.